I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, our buddy Paul Emming, our green and gold analyst, is here. Paul, how are you doing?
Good, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. I guess let's start with the injuries, because how concerned are you with some of the things that have gone on defensively with this team?
Yeah, it kind of hits you at a couple spots where you didn't have a ton of depth in the first place, right? I think mostly with Vince Beagle. If you were to rate, you know, concerns from a depth perspective for me at positions on defense, outside linebacker being a bigger concern from a depth perspective, in my opinion, than defensive line. But again, you don't want Montrevious Adams to go down. If you have a guy of his skill level who didn't really get a chance, I mean, you know, this defensive lineman, offensive lineman, they don't really get a chance to shine in non-padded practices. I mean, how can you really bull rush a guy when you're not wearing pads, or how can you really show a lot of your finesse at that position? And of course, as the Packers moved from non-padded to padded, Montrevious Adams is no longer available, and you know, the severity of the injury sounds like something that could keep him out until the regular season. You know, if he has a stress fracture in his foot, that is certainly less than ideal for any player, especially one as a rookie who needs to get all the reps he possibly can. So it's not devastating. It's not like the Packers just suffered a Jordy Nelson injury, if you want to rewind 2 years, but you know, you lose a couple of your top picks on defense, plus the Kevin King one is seemingly less severe than anything that Vince Beagle or Montrevious Adams is with, but you're still talking about your first overall pick this year and King missing some practices. And any reps these guys can get, Bill, you know how important those are for any player, much less a young guy or a rookie.
This offense, we started off the day asking the question, can this offense be better than the prolific offense of 2011? And I know going back then there was a lot of veteran weapons. You had what seemingly was a more stable running back situation, although we don't know what this one is going to bring us this year. How much better, or do you think this one can be as good as that offense of 2011? What do you think about this year's offense?
Yeah, well, the point total in 2011 was what? Was it 35.7 or something like? I don't know if you have it right in front of you guys, but it was very tough to stop. You can pretty much safely put it that way. They were a very tough offense to stop. You look at the weapons on this team, and in terms of who the starters are, I think the offensive line, you know, in the past couple off seasons now, you have lost Sitton and Lang, and that shouldn't be understated at all. You know, that was 2 years ago. You were talking about the top guard duo in all of football. If you had to lose the top anything duo of any position, the one you can usually get by with, if you have to lose players and you have to lose them on offense, maybe guard is the place to do it, right? If you absolutely had to pick a spot where you said, hey, you're going to lose two of your better guys, guard is usually a position you can make up for. And I think Lane Taylor proved that last year coming in for Sitton, and then Lang we'll see this year with Jari Evans. But from the actual skill position player perspective, that team was loaded. But so is this one. And I mean, Martellus Bennett being the number one guy with Kendricks and Richard Rodgers as the two and three, you can sign me up for that trio of tight ends for any team. You know, it's a very, very good group, a deeper group than usual. I think it will let Richard Rodgers, a guy who, you know, I have been very skeptical of for most parts of his career, let him settle into what I believe will be a more natural role, not being pressed into stuff that he's not as capable of doing, at least that's my opinion. The running back group is the question, because I think the wide receivers are stacked. Nelson, Cobb, Adams, especially if Adams builds off the year he had last year. Even if Nelson doesn't have a better year than he had last year but has the same year, that was a fantastic year. Forget all of the asterisks about him coming back from an injury. It's just a completely normal year. Even if Jordy Nelson did have the injury or didn't, that was a great year. If he can repeat that, if Adams can repeat that, and I think most people agree that Cobb had a lesser year last year than what he had been used to in previous years, so maybe even Cobb gives you an uptick. You add that to Bennett and Kendricks and Richard Rodgers, and I think the competition at wide receivers 4 through 7 is only going to make those guys better, and that's all to kind of get to the most important part of this is the running back position, and that is if this foursome of unproven running backs, you're talking about Ty Montgomery, obviously a wide receiver convert from last year, and then 3 rookies, that's the question. Can these guys do blitz pickup well enough to not get their quarterback hurt or in trouble or sacked enough to make their jobs worthwhile. Can Ty Montgomery stay healthy? He has to be able to prove that he can take some of the hits that running backs take. I think there's a reason that running backs typically last less, have shorter careers than wide receivers, and that'll be something for Ty Montgomery to kind of answer. But if you believe in Jamal Williams, which I do, and then you want to, you know, give some reps here to Devontae Mays, Aaron Jones, you know, Bill, I don't know if it's as good as 2011, and time will of course tell, but I think optimistically, and I think just looking at it straight on, it's hard to find a group this talented offensively in the past few years of Packers history or even across the league right now if you look at 2017 rosters.
I know it's preseason. I know it hasn't been in live situations, but certainly the news has been good regarding their punter, Justin Vogel, between hang time, yardage, and such. You know, I'm not one to look at the special teams and just say, here, this is huge. But if you got a guy that's going to give you some field position, being able to flip the field at certain times, and also they've got enough for coverage units, all of a sudden the special teams could go from, and I'm not saying they're going to be great, but they can go from being almost a hold-your-breath Achilles heel to really being an asset to help not only the defense, but more so even the offense, if they can get a little bit of a return game to kind of give them some field position and not put their backs up against the wall.
Well, let's start with the guy you said first, and Justin Vogel. I don't know how anybody couldn't be encouraged by some of the times that he's putting up. It's really, really good. It puts any thought to Puntergate perhaps behind you, and the 1 year you had of Jacob Shum and the, you know, the years before that of Tim Mastay were mostly consistent but never spectacular. You know, Vogel coming out of college was mostly rated as the top punter coming out of college. It's just that when you're a punter, how much hype and how much press do you really get, you know, and how much coverage are people really going to talk about the punter position? He was arguably the best one coming out. So the numbers he's putting up are certainly encouraging. I really am intrigued by the punt and kick return battles and the importance that that will have. The Trevor Davis aspect of it is kind of the unknown. If Trevor Davis, you know, even if he doesn't contribute a lot as a wide receiver, which he very well might, but let's just look at him strictly as a returner. At his speed, with some of his shiftiness, his skill set, if you get him out in the open field, if he doesn't muff punts and if he's secure with the ball, he's a wild card in this. He could really be a dynamic force. I know Randall Cobb wants to return punts, and that's great. And, you know, maybe he's, you know, I hate to even say this, but maybe Randall Cobb, like, Bill, my hesitation with Cobb as a punt returner in previous years, you know, going back to 2012, 2013, was what if he suffers an injury there? Are the Packers deep enough at his position at wide receiver to recover from it? They are more equipped to handle that now, where maybe you can take a slight risk and let Cobb, you know, go out there and do his thing as a punt returner. But Trevor Davis is the wild card there. And then if you want to talk more about some of the gunner spots or some of the other things, that's where Jeff Janis' name comes into play for me. That's where Jarone Elliott has been good at different times in his career. And that's where ultimately you're going to see guys who claim whoever the 52nd and 53rd man on the roster is, more than likely it's going to be because it's someone who either continued on their path from previous years on being a special teams ace or someone who comes out of nowhere to kind of claim that 53rd job because of what they do on special teams.
Before I let you go, I wanted to also ask you about Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, he believes that he's got 6, 7, 8 more years of solid play in him. The Packers don't seem to think that there's any kind of a window of time that needs to be executed. So if Aaron Rodgers right now is at the peak of his career, do you think with this offense he has a chance or better than an average chance to best his career highs? And that is a 122 quarterback rating, 4,600 yards, 45 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. With this offense, can he be better?
I mean, it's an awesome question because it's something that every team would absolutely love to have that issue or that question is, you know, what if his passer rating is only 115 and not 122? He'll still be, you know, it'll still be an incredible mark, right? And that's kind of the great thing is when you set the standards as high as he has. But, you know, that's as much as that's the blessing for him, it's also the curse because when he does have let's be real about it. When Aaron Rodgers started last season, he wasn't the Aaron Rodgers that we came to expect. He was a good quarterback. I think, you know, a lot of people started throwing out names like, well, these Aaron Rodgers numbers through the first 5, 6, 7 games aren't that much better than, you know, throw in average quarterback X. I'm trying to remember the names at the time, but there were some names being talked about where it was like, is he really that much better right now than these guys? And you're talking about the 20th, 21st, 22nd best QBs in the league. Rodgers did not start last year well, and it certainly was a contributing factor to the Packers getting out to a slow start. But then he bounces back. Then we see the end of last season when he was the Aaron Rodgers we all came to expect. I think with the weapons he has, with having a left tackle in Bakhtiari, who seems to only be getting better and is already very good. He's coming off a great season, in my opinion. Brian Bulaga coming off a great season at right tackle. As long as the interior holds up, as Corey Linsley stays healthy, the two guards do their jobs, and he has the time to get the ball to these guys, he's going to, you know, he should put up. I would expect him to put up. I think it's fair to expect him to put up those Aaron Rodgers-esque numbers and not get off to the kind of start he did last year. But that's the interesting thing about it, is when you're talking about passing career marks of 4,600 yards and 122.5 passer rating, you can fall a little bit short of that and still have an absolutely spectacular year. And, you know, with the guys he has to throw to, if the blocking, like I said, holds up, there's no reason that this shouldn't be as good or better of some of the stuff we've seen in his career. Because I do agree, Bill, from a physical perspective, he's obviously kept himself in great shape at 33. It'll be around week 14, week 13 of the regular season that he'll turn 34 years old. But he has, you know, he has really not showed any signs of aging yet. And with the way he keeps himself in shape, you know, why would we expect that to change now? I guess I don't.
I don't think I would either. I think at this point in time, you would only assume, I hate to use the term of fine wine, but he just continues to get better. Yeah. Good stuff, Paul, as always, and we'll chat again later in the week, okay?
All right, sounds good, Bill.
All right, Bill, talk to you later. There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they begin to get done. Call them, 844-PRIDE. Or go to SchneiderJobs.com, 844-PRIDE, or go to SchneiderJobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.